2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 6. If that didn't come through. And it says, "Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus." We look at verse 13. "Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all." These are a couple of my favorite verses because they tell us that Titus was comforting to people. And he was even comforted because the people he taught to, preached at, apparently must have enjoyed what it was that he preached and must have done what he was preaching, so that gave him comfort. So the joy. So his spirit was refreshed by the people. You don't get a refreshed spirit when you're fighting the people you're preaching at. So there was joy in Mudville there because Titus was preaching and teaching something and the people were comforted by it. And my question here is, are we growing into more comfort as we learn more about Paul? If we go to, which we should, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And these are a couple of good verses because you want to be able to tell people, listen, when you get into your Bible, I enjoy reading Titus. I enjoy reading Timothy. The only way that you can enjoy reading Titus and Timothy is you not only do you understand, but you're trying to respond to what it is that he teaches in there. And we both know what I'm getting at here. We all know what we're getting at here. And that's the fact that Timothy and Titus have sound doctrine according to the walk. And remember I said a couple weeks ago, the Gospels, in order to follow Jesus, here's what you can't do. You can't do these things. And Paul is all about all the things that you can do. And he talks to us in Titus and Timothy, especially where the majority of the specific details are at. So does that give you joy? Does that give you comfort? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. "And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." So, again, we see Timothy doing the same thing. So, my question this morning is, are we growing more towards Timothy and Titus, or are we growing away from Timothy and Titus? Are we growing more towards Paul's walk, or are we growing away from Paul's walk, Paul's teaching, Paul's gospel? Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians. We know that Paul got his confidence and his joy from the people. I got scattered notes all over the place here, so I've got to kind of set these things aside somewhere along the line here. And confidence. There we go. Paul got his joy and his confidence. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I wrote, verse 3. "And I wrote the same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them, that whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all." So we see here, we're going to read a bunch of verses here, a lot of verses this morning, where Paul got his joy and his confidence. He had confidence in his people. And he knew that these people were going to respond to what it was he was preaching. So his confidence and his joy is their joy. 2 Corinthians 7:16. Chapter 7, verse 16. Flip those pages and try to follow along in your Bibles this morning. "I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things." Paul knew that his people were going to get what he was preaching. Chapter 8, verse 22. "And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, and now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you." So Paul had a great confidence in his people. Okay, that's the point I'm trying to make here. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 10. "I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded." But he wasn't worried about it. He had confidence that they weren't going to fall into some other kind of a something or other here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12 talks about Christ himself, in whom we have boldness. Now, we know enough. I got to move my nose. It's just itchy this morning. We know that when Paul is talking about Christ and it says, like, in whom, we should know by now that to us today, yes, we get our confidence, boldness, and access by him, but we get that by our Bible reading. That's probably the one thing I can't seem to get across to people is, yes, God speaks to you. Yes, God will handle it. God will deal with some issues, but he deals it through the Bible to us, not some feeling and this kind of a thing. So that's a tough one to get people to pay attention to. So he says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Yes, in whom we get our boldness and access by our Bible reading and our assurance that it's the Word of God, it's the words of the risen Savior. So we know that. And just to feel something that, if I feel this is the right thing to do, could very easily be the worst thing you could do. It's got to match up with Scripture. It's got to show that, that'd be another sermon. So maybe I can do that sermon sometime as a sermon. Anyway, Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So our confidence is not in ourself. It's not in our flesh. And it seems like this whole sermon today is being brought about because I think we're becoming more and more confident in our flesh as there's an increase in learning and there's more and more knowledge people are getting, and we have money to buy stuff and to do stuff, and so we're getting more and more confidence in our flesh. And now, Paul does say in verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Yeah, Paul had his reasons to trust in the flesh, but he wouldn't. So, looking at those two verses, I'll take Paul even in the flesh. Just my walk is based on my flesh and my strength and my confidence, I'll still be doing the right thing according to Paul. But we don't want to leave it at that. We don't want to have confidence in the flesh. We know our flesh is going to give in and is going to quit after a while. Enough of the flattery from the world, enough of the economy, enough of the money we have, enough of the riches, enough of the pleasures, and being flattered by people because they like how we look, and we're worried about how we look, and all these things. You know, we're going to eventually start having more and more confidence in our flesh, and as our confidence in our flesh grows, our confidence in the spiritual warfare that we're going to have, Ephesians chapter 6, goes by the wayside. Because our flesh doesn't want a war. Our flesh doesn't want to avoid people. Our flesh doesn't want to be what it has to be, you know, crucified. Doesn't want to be put in this place. You don't want to have some preacher tell you you're wrong or whatever the issue is, because your flesh gets irritated. And it's not the preacher that you're mad at. It's God in Corinthians. And yet it's the preacher that you do get mad at because you're looking at the whole thing in the flesh. So, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, or 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul, again, is having confidence in his people. He says, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you. So, Paul knew that God was going to work in these people's lives, if you know he says he does, in Ephesians, and he had confidence that when the Lord touches you, shows you these things, get excited about the Lord in your life, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. Paul knew that God could get these people to do these things in his day of what it is that Paul would preach to them, if the people that God, as they say, touched them. And there's the one verse that we could say that the Lord touched me. Well, it's not in this miraculous say that they're doing it today, but it's, you know, when you get a hold of this Bible and realize it's the Word of God and you're willing to make some of these huge sacrifices that you've made, you can't do this on your flesh. You won't last very long. So yes, we've been touched by the Lord that we're trying to do the things that Paul commands us and teaches to us. And then in Philemon chapter 1, which is all of Philemon is, verse 21, he says, having confidence in thy obedience to Onesimus here, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. There are some people in Paul's following that will actually do more than Paul says. And that's like, for example, that's like that word shamefaced. You know, it's one thing to be modest, and it's another thing to be shamefacedly modest. You can still be modest right up to the edge. But you know, Paul talks about being shamefaced. That's beyond modesty. How many ladies are willing to go beyond modesty? They feel frumpy and they feel stupid. They feel like they're looking weird. They'll do it, but they're not happy with it. But they know they're doing it. They're doing the right thing. But shamefaced, they don't. That's like disappearing. And I'm not picking on anybody or anything. It's just that's. And Paul says that's beyond what he calls. You know, and have confidence that thou wilt do also more than I say. Well, Paul does say shamefaced, but again, how many will go that far to be shamefaced with their modesty? So, anyway, look at Philippians chapter 1. One more here. So we see that Paul gets his confidence from his people. He knows that they will stay with him. They know that staying with Paul, we're going to be staying with the risen Savior. Not going back to the Jesus gospel in the Gospels. Not going forward into the gospel of the tribulation. And not quitting and following Demas. He has confidence that that's the way it's going to be with us. Now, as a pastor, I didn't always have that confidence in people. But I'm not the guy that wrote the Bible. I'm not Paul. I'm just another man trying to teach people what the Bible says. I'm not that touch not thy anointed. That's not me. That's not the way it's supposed to be these days. Just a way to help people understand their Bible. But Paul's teachings is assuming that we're going to stay with him. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. We all talk like we're going to stay with Paul. We all have that talk. 2 Timothy 1, 8. Oh, yeah, I'm going to stay with Paul. Paul's teachings. I want a church that's Paul's teachings. I want a pastor that'll teach me Paul's teachings. And we all talk like that. But have you come to realize that after a while, you are challenged beyond your ability to do what you say when you say something like that? For the verse I keep thinking of is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. He says here, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." I'm not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Everybody's willing to talk about Jesus. You know, the lost people, they like to bash them and all. I'm talking about Christian people. They say, "Oh yes, Jesus loves me, this I know." Or Jesus this and Jesus that, you know. And my Savior, and he's such a marvelous Savior. And they'll just blab about that all the time. They don't realize... Uh-oh, the video might not be working very good because I didn't have the microphone on. There we go. Ah, well, they heard it, but not very good. So people are willing to say that, yes, we love Jesus, and he's my Savior. But you know, the testimony of the Lord, I'm not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And I'll say it again. The testimony of Jesus Christ includes the pre-creation, creation, Old Testament, Gospels, his death and burial, death, went to hell, resurrection, through Peter, first part of Acts, then through Paul, and then through the tribulation, Jude and James and Peter again, and those kind of writings. Then you got the tribulation, then you got after the tribulation, then you got millennium, and you got eternity. They don't know about that stuff, but they know that he died on the cross, and he died and buried and rose again, and they followed him, and they're going to try to imitate him. And when they don't imitate him quite right, then they ask for forgiveness because it says in first, you know, that whole story. So they don't understand. But see, I don't mind telling people those other things. So they go, "Oh, I didn't know that. That's pretty exciting," if we get that far in the conversation. But you know, it also says, "Nor of me his prisoner." Are we ashamed of Paul's teachings? I say that most of us probably are, because it is so radical nowadays that we just hate to even talk about it with people, because they know they're going to just brush you off and set you aside, or you have to make some decisions in your life that you're going to have to knock out Paul to go ahead, or at least back off on Paul to go ahead. And are you doing the right thing by not being just a loudmouth, or are you doing the wrong thing? Are you ashamed of Paul? Or are you trying to use wisdom and you show these people, this person, the Paul stuff little by little, and maybe you can show Paul stuff just in your own personal life and not be preachy to people? I mean, how do you go about this thing? Well, my concern is this, is that if we're going to say we're not ashamed of Paul, which he even says is his prisoner, then let's not be ashamed of him. Sorry out there, Videoland. Maybe I can learn to bleep some of that stuff. And again, I'm not saying that we have to stand up and just preach to people. I'm not saying that we have to stick it in their face and tell them about their Bible or tell them about their life or whatever. You've got to start off by being who you believe to be. If you believe that Paul's teachings are true, then you ought to be walking Paul's teachings before you start blabbing to somebody else about them not following Paul's teachings. Oh, wait a minute, that's not encouraging, positive. But that's true. So, but still, we all come up with something sometime where we have to set Paul aside. Or do we? Can we still be a Paul follower, not an imitator, but a Paul follower, in such a manner that it doesn't burn the people, and yet you're still pleasing the risen Savior, and these people will see that you are what you say you believe in? That's probably the biggest thing, is what people see in you. Remember, it says in, where's this at? It's in Thessalonians here. It says here, let's see here, Thessalonians, this chapter 1 Thessalonians, remember that, verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. If they see in your life that you are living and serving the true God with your King James Bible and your way you appear, the way you behave, and the things that you won't do because it doesn't please the risen Savior, then you'll get somewhere. I really believe you'll get somewhere that way. But the rest of the sermon this morning here is just about this. Look at Ephesians, look at Philippians, back to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 25. Now here, if it wasn't positive up to this point, this should be now. I mean this to be a positive, giving us the encouragement to go forward with what we know to be the truth. Philippians chapter 1, verse 25 says this, and having this confidence, Paul says, I know that I shall abide and continue with you. Now, in order for Paul to abide and continue with us, we have to be reading our Bibles. We have to be looking at Paul's writings. You've been through them once, that's not enough. You've had them preached to you? That's not enough. We're not going to last long enough if we don't stay in this book and get the confidence and encouragement and the strength of God's grace and to understand these things. And just like you said that thing in Ephesians there. Oh, what was that verse here? In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. That has all got to come from our Bible. We've got to stay in this book to continue following Paul's ways. And he says here again, back to Philippians, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all, for what? Your furtherance and joy of faith. Your furtherance. We get more into Paul. As anybody, I can't imagine anybody out there between Patience, Stephen, Brother Bill, Gunkles, hi Gunkles, Brian, Adriana, God's Book, Sam, KJV Girl, still don't know who KJV Girl is. But anyway, the White Cottons, Mark and myself and everybody else that listens to this thing, have we landed? Have we attained Paul's walk? Are we pleasing the Lord in everything that we say and do? We all have our sin issues. Well, yeah, but that's because it's the sin in us that's doing it. Paul told us it's not us anymore. We're separated. Okay, fine. That's what the judgment seat's for, is to take care of the things we do that are right and wrong, and it'll judge, basically, and judge the works. But can we go any further with Paul? Have you come to your maximum where you're done? I can't get any more modest. I can't get any more softer. I can't get any more right. I can't get any more sober. I can't get any more full of grace. I can't get any more anything that Paul and Timothy and Titus teach. You know, I can't love my husband more than I do. I can't love my children more than I do. I can't be more discreet than I already am and chaste. And I'm at home all the time. I'm good. I'm obedient to my heart. I can't get any better. I'm as good as I can be. Man, are we sober, grave, temperate? Are we sound in our faith, in charity and patience? Are we as good as we can get? Young people, showing ourselves a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech. Have we arrived? No, we haven't. But my concern is this, like Paul says here. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Here's the gist of the sermon this morning. I'll finally get around to it here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, can anybody steer you from the teachings of Paul? No, you're grounded. The folks that keep coming to this website, you have to be grounded in the faith. You have to be grounded with your King James Bible, rightly dividing. You have to be grounded. You're settled with this thing. No, you're not. Nobody's going to tear you from that thing. You may not live it. You may not be able to. You may have to make some decisions that make it look like you're not. But you personally, you trip up, whatever, you are grounded and settled. So if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. That's my point this morning. Let's not move away from what it is that we already know. Or we have so much to learn yet. There's so many exciting things. Typing this thing up, I wasn't typing, but writing this thing up last night, I just remember the first verse I went to was just full of excitement. Just in that verse. I don't remember what verse it was last night. It was just a couple words just meant everything. And I thought, you know, this is just a marvelous book. Well, of course it's a marvelous book because he's a marvelous Savior. And Paul was actually a marvelous man considering he was just a man. So my fear is that if we're not ashamed of Paul, as it says there in Timothy, then we should not move away from what we know to be true. But what's happening is people are moving away. They're moving away from Paul's stuff. They can probably justify it. They can say, well, I just can't. You know, if I don't do this, I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to lose what I got coming here. And listen, it is a tough decision. These are tough decisions these days. Maybe it's a job. Maybe, Brian, you finally come across a possibility of a job, and yet you're not going to be able to be quite the Christian you want to be. Well, you know, men, we just got to get out there and work and obey our boss. That's the job of the man. Ladies, if at all possible, you're home. And you're taking care of the children and taking care of your husband in the house. Da-da-da-da. Okay. Now, it seems like more and more this world is becoming more pleasure-oriented. We're in such tight positions financially. Our home life, if we're young, is horrible. The job maybe you have is horrible. There's everything is challenging us by going the way of the world. You want to live alone? You want to be by yourself all your life? Do you want to be with these people all your life? Do you want to have this job all your life? I mean, it's getting tough. And the ways of Paul that was supposed to be taught in every church, right, according to Timothy there, that in Corinthians, how many are moving away from just what he says? The hope of the gospel. They're quitting. They're packing it. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. And my challenge this morning is, let's just do the best we can to not move away from the gospel to satisfy somebody else. And listen, I know there's going to be times where that is going to be near impossible. Because Paul just doesn't fit anywhere. Modesty is just not important to people anywhere. A man in his proper manner, with his guns even. You know, he's going to protect his family. You're just not welcome anywhere. And if you believe Paul and King James Bible, you are just almost a mental nutcase. Even if you haven't said anything, you're just living that way. When you ladies show up looking like you show up, you do not fit the crowd. You just will not fit the crowd. Sure, everybody's wearing long dresses. Yeah, well, they took the material from their blouses and put it onto their dresses. So the world just is not happy with Christianity, let alone Paul's teachings and the teachings of the obviously risen Savior and a King James Bible, and rightly divide this thing according to book, not by verses. Where are you going to go to church to find that? You're not going to. You're just not going to. Do you have to put up with another church because this is your family decision? This is the only thing in the state? Only thing in the countryside that you can even go to at all? Are you getting it and your spouse is not getting it? Are you getting it as a kid but your parents aren't getting it? Is grandma getting it but grandpa's not getting it? Do the grandkids not get it but the grandparents do? I mean, we are all in such tough positions with what we believe by following Paul. Are we willing to move away from Paul so we can maintain the joys and the comforts and the pleasures of this life, or what it is that we want personally, that we've been taught to want all of our lives? Ephesians 6:20. Let's look at verse 19. No, verse 18. Here we go. For verse 18. This is one of the things I'd never seen before, I guess. Of course, I probably haven't forgotten about it, but, you know, whatever. Verse 18, part of the armor of God. We know what it is, and that's praying always with all prayer. That's in verse 18. And supplication in the Spirit, washing thereunto with all the perseverance and supplication for the saints. That's good. That's part of the armor. And then for some reason, I didn't ever zipped on this verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. This is Paul. Paul's part of our armor of God. Now, how many draw this when they draw the little soldier? And they got all the little, you know, the breastplate of righteousness and all this kind of stuff. Talks about prayer. Pray for what? Pray for Paul that his utterance will be given to me. So Paul's teachings need to be given to me. That's part of our prayer for our armor of God. And here this guy pops up and pops right off because he finds out what I'm talking about. Paul. He mentions Paul. Oh, he's a Paul guy. You know, like, see what I'm saying? We can't find a church. We can't find a congregation as a pastor. We can't find people for friends that are Paul-oriented. We're just not going to. And if you do, it's because you found them on the internet 400 miles away somewhere. So, are we going to be moving away? Paul has confidence that we don't. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Here we go. He's got a series of verses here now. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And, you know, I'm realizing more and more what it takes to follow Paul. And it's huge. It's more than I think all of us even still realize to this day. Adriana and you young folks, Patience and Stephen and KJV girl, I figured you must be kind of young because otherwise it's a KJV woman, or I don't know, who knows. And White Cottons wanting to teach your kids this stuff. The percentages of your kids getting this stuff from Paul are like almost nil. Young people today could just care less about church, but they'll go to one because they'll make them feel good and the music will be fun and they'll enjoy it and they do movies, all this kind of stuff. Then they'll go to that church. But if you go to one of those things, you can't participate really because Paul, those are the very people we're supposed to avoid. Listen, as a parent, there are times that we have to avoid our own children based on Paul's teachings. Have no company with. This gets tough. This gets real tough after a while. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself. Okay? Think of yourself now here. And unto the doctrine. Unto the doctrine? Yeah, 15. Meditate upon these things. Goes back to Paul's doctrine. Okay? Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Not go back, not move away, but continue in them. My challenge this morning is to all of us is to stay with this Paul stuff. You may lose your wife. You may lose your husband. You may lose your kids. You may lose your job. You may lose a husband. And I'm not saying that we have to make that kind of a hard decision. Don't have to be hammer-oriented. But it's a possibility. And we don't want to move away from Paul's gospel. We don't want to move away from the hope of the gospel. We don't want to move away from the risen Savior. I know He's with us all the time. I know that. But we are being challenged so much to drop this stuff, to get away from this stuff. And when we mess up with our flesh and we obey our flesh and our sin that's within us, sometimes we get so discouraged. It's like, oh, why? Listen, Paul's gospel tells us, stand up, get going. It wasn't imputed. People don't understand it. You don't have to confess it. Just get up and get on with your day. What if you do it again tomorrow? Okay, get up and keep going. Paul's gospel tells us that stuff. Paul's gospel gives us that strength. Our strength is in God's grace. I've been messing up for 3 years. Okay, get up and keep going. That's why we should have the joy that we should have. And we're losing it because we are attacked from all directions. Just because, isn't it amazing? Isn't it not amazing? Just because you want to cover up. Just because you want to stay home with your kids. Just because you want a job that allows you to have some money. And just because you want to have a gun and protect your family. Just because you want to go out and shoot a prairie dog, you know, and leave them for the eagles and the snakes and stuff. Just because you want to be the right kind of a person based on your Bible, King James, of course, rightly divided, based on Paul's teachings, not Jesus' teachings to the Jews. Just because you're that simple of a person, you've got everybody in the world after you. They don't want to pay attention to you. You know, not to keep belaboring the point. You ladies walk into a store. You know, you just know you stick out like a thumb. That's really sore. We live in a small town. There are people that wear dresses. Oh, wait a minute. That's on Sunday. And not all of them do that either. So what are you going to do? Everybody, I'm sure, knows my wife is that dress-wearing woman, you know, that they look at her when you go into a restaurant. They kind of look. It's not one of those, it's going to be tough, isn't it? You're young. You want a husband. You're young. You want a wife. Where are you going to find them, Ben, when you get a chance? Ben, are you looking at the right kind of a woman? Or are you going to marry her and hope you fix her? Well, that's dangerous. That's pretty dangerous, vice versa. I know too many ladies that say, oh, I love this guy. I just got to fix him when I get married to him. Then you find out that he's not fixable. Those guys can be pretty crummy. Or whatever. It's tough. Can I easily sit here and say these things? No, I can't, because I know that the world, I'm teaching in a public school. What if they make me do high school next year? I know they won't because I'm too old. But what if they did? What do I do? Do I throw out Paul and go there and do a Hawaii 5-0 with my drum section? How does that go, Hawaii 5-0? Oh, I can't even think of it right now. Anyway, or Cades County from that TV, all this kind of junk. That would totally destroy my testimony with music. What do you listen to? Do you move away from the gospel when you turn on your CD player or your MP3? Do you move away from the gospel of what you wear today because it's hot out? Do you move away from Paul's gospel when you hang around the people you know you shouldn't? Let's keep going here. Let's look here to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. What have you learned? Now, some of you have been with us since the start. What have you learned? How much of that have you gone back away from? Oh, I'm starting to get negative. How much of that are you still going forward? Are you continuing in? Are you strengthening yourself over? But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Listen, you know you're right. And you're not trying to flaunt it. You're just trying to do it to please God. You'll fight your parents. You'll fight your husband. You'll fight your wife. You'll fight your own kids. You'll fight your aunt and uncle. You'll fight your pastor. You'll fight your principal. You'll fight your boss if they want to, because you're assured of it. You know it. Why? Because it says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who'd you learn them from? Timothy, his situation here is Timothy learned them from his mom and his grandma. Really? But even that was all from Paul. How can you stand so hard in that King James Bible? Because you know it's rightly divided. You know you're not having to go to some college to understand what verse is now, what verse is not. You are very simply understanding the fact that if Paul wrote it, it's to us. It's that simple. And if 1 and 2 Corinthians are so confusing, you know that 1 Corinthians 13:10 is the King James Bible. That which is perfect has come. I mean, it just settles it. There's no argument. There's no discussion necessary. It's just, there it is. It's very simple. And you're very comfortable with it. Okay, so are you continuing in the things that you learned? What have you had to throw out to have that friend that you have? What have you had to throw out in order to go down to the beach with these people because you had to go? What have you had to throw out to go have dinner with somebody? Christmas party. What did you have to throw out to go visit the relatives at the reunion stuff? I mean, not that Paul tells us to be that idiot on the street corner, or to be that nut that goes to a family reunion and preaches on the picnic table. Not to be the one that goes down to the beach and wears the parka. But how far do you go when you're on the beach? Should you even be on the beach? I'm not talking just to ladies. When a man goes on the beach, he's got to put on 15 pairs of sunglasses or he's going to do some wrong thinking. And the ladies say, well, if it's not right, then don't look. Yeah, you're causing me to stumble. And then the men go, well, she's going to cause me to stumble. I might as well trip up really well. That's just, you know, we're just dumb thinking. Maybe we shouldn't even be there in the first place. Maybe we shouldn't even be going to this place. If you got to make some adjustments in your art, in your clothing to go someplace, and did you move away from the Paul's teachings a little bit? Maybe you had to. Isn't God's grace marvelous? Yeah, but what about your testimony? And Paul is just saying here these things, you know. Continue what you have learned. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. This is coming across positive, just because I don't know how to do that. It's just, I want us to continue. Let's continue. Let's take this as a challenge this morning. And I'm not going to be able to get it all this morning. I know that now. I found way too many verses last night for these things. Let's continue to grow. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Your faith is growing. Is your faith growing or is it fading? Now, I have here a bunch of verses here. Let me just read them to you. And it actually talks about our faith. Now, we know there's a difference between our faith and the faith of Jesus Christ. But listen to these verses. And this is how we want to grow. Not to go backwards. We want to go forward here. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. That's your faith. That's your testimony. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You get that from your Bible. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased. Paul was encouraged when he saw his people's faith increase. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. For this cause I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. Paul wanted to know how your faith is doing. His faith is doing, faith of Jesus Christ is doing fine. It's sustaining our salvation, it's keeping our salvation. It's keeping us, when we read our Bible, it's there to preach to us. You go away for 5 years from your Bible, you pick up that Bible and finally want to do what you need to read, he'll be there. He's always there. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distresses by your faith. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Our faith can grow. Our faith can also fade. And my challenge again for us this morning is to grow in our faith. Not fight it. Not go backwards. Not move away. Let's take heed unto that what we have learned. Because we know we learned them from the right Bible, from the right person. That's Paul. And to continue in something means you're doing it. You're not just believing it. You're doing it. And here he says in Thessalonians, continue to grow in our faith. Our faith needs to grow. Look at Ephesians chapter 4:15. Turn to Ephesians 4:15. Ephesians 4:15. This is part of our growing up as a Christian. In verse 14, henceforth be no more children. We know that verse. But look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We will grow up. It becomes more and more between us and God. It's just between you and God. It's not between you and your husband, you and your wife, you and me. It's not between anybody but you and God. And as you grow up as a Christian, it says there, grow up into him in all things. Maybe you're dressed in that modest way. You know, one of these days you're going to dress modestly for God. And that was my point last week, that if you're not turning to God, if you're not doing it for him, you're not going to do it forever. Your flesh is going to get you. The world is going to get you. But if you're doing it for him, you'll stand strong. And as we get older in our walk, you'll do it more for him as you get older. It becomes you and him. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Here's one for the ladies only. But the men need to be aware of it. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Talks about Adam and Eve being deceived. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So the woman was the one that was deceived. Then it says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. What does this mean? Her life will be saved because she's going to have babies, and if you're not living like you're supposed to, you're going to die during your childbirth? No, look at that, verse 15. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. What's childbearing? You go through this thing every month and all this kind of stuff. Got to continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. We've been over that thing before. You are more capable of being deceived during that time of month, or when you're pregnant, or after the birth kind of stuff. That's where the man has got to be willing to realize that his wife is in her weakest moment during that time. And if she continues in faith and charity and holiness, there's that word, holiness with sobriety. You know, you're doing it properly. You're not just, you're sober-minded, it's serious. You live a serious Christian life, you won't be deceived, and your worst possible deception time is during that childbearing stuff. That's written to the ladies. That's a specific verse for the ladies. But the men, you better be aware of that. And then let's look at Philippians chapter 1 again. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Here's Paul. He's having troubles. He's having a tough time in the palace. You know, he's been hassled. We have our tough times. We have our challenges. We have our challenges with our parents. We have our challenges with our children. We have our challenges with our neighbors, our boss, our workers, our friends, our family, the whole thing. Paul says in verse 12, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me," he's had some hard times, "have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." It didn't, did you know, it didn't pass away. He didn't move away from the gospel. It furthered it. It didn't go backwards. So the challenges that we have should further the gospel in our day-to-day walk. So now, here we are. We have our challenges, right, folks? We're having our challenges. And we're tempted to set it aside. You may have to avoid your own children. You may have to consider the job situation. You may have to consider your marriage. Remember, Paul even deals with that, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If there's a battle going on, there's no peace, and one of them is because you want to follow Paul's teachings and the husband doesn't, or the husband does and the woman doesn't, or whatever. He deals with that. It may come to that. I know somebody out there in the website right there that had to go through that with her family, with her marriage. That's tough stuff. Did it further the gospel in your day-to-day walk, or did it set you back? Now, I think because of the time factor here, looking at my stuff here, I think I'll save the rest until later tonight here, because once you get into the next phase, I'll leave it at that. Now, that was meant to be encouraging for us to go forward and not to move away from what we know to be true. And I hope it helps. Paul had the confidence in us that he knows that we're not going to go backwards. Are we? Move not away from the hope of the gospel. Take heed unto thyself. Continue in the things. Continue in what you have learned, knowing who you learned it from. Continue to grow in your faith. Your faith has to get stronger. Don't you come down sometimes to your privacy and go, is it worth it? What's going on here? Well, it's a chance for Paul's gospel to be furthered. Did you further it in your conversation? Okay, you may have said the right stuff. Now, live like you still have, because you do, the joy and the peace of what Paul teaches. Sure, it's frustrating. It's discouraging to hear other people that you care and you love blow Paul off into just nothing. They mock it and get rid of it. Yeah, that's bothersome. But don't let that change your testimony of the joy and the peace that you have, knowing that you don't want to move away, that you're taking heed unto this stuff, and you're going to stay with what you've learned, and you want to keep growing. Growing what? Your faith has got to get stronger. This is between more and more. It's going to be between you and God, not you and your husband, not you and your dad, not you and your wife, not you and the kids, not you and your neighbors, not you and your pals, buddies. No, it's between you and God. And ladies, there's a time of the month where you are more deceivable than any other time. Men, you better, fathers, your husbands, you better be aware of that. And ladies, allow them to take care of you during that time. And we want to further the gospel with the things that we have to live in our life. Now let's grow. Let's not go backwards. Let's grow. We have not attained yet, like Paul says. And then we'll talk some more about this stuff tonight. There you go.